Disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show.
From Los Angeles, this is AnCast. I'm Justin Savakis.
And I'm Zach Birchie. And obviously the topic that we're going to start out, we got a feature-packed first segment for you here before we bring our guest on. Obviously we have to talk about ADV Films, now known as Valkyrie Studios, Section 23, whatever the fuck.
Yeah, I kind of lost track. Acer
Holdings.
Yeah.
Valkyrie Transactions.
And there's still Sentai, which is a separate company.
Yeah, and there's still Sentai Filmworks. Basically, this is a big corporate shell game. Like, they sold themselves to themselves.
Yeah, in pieces.
Right, in little pieces. So what they did is they split up all of their valuable assets into separate companies so that the creditors can't go after those separate companies.
Right.
Right. And it seems like they've set up Acer Holdings or whatever as the company that might eventually go bankrupt. This is just informed speculation on our behalff. So basically, the company's been split up this way. Valkyrie Media Partners is Anime Network now.
Oh, okay.
They have Anime Network.
Right.
Section 23 is Account Servicing and Distribution Operations, so marketing and distribution.
Right.
Seraphim Studios acquired Amusement Park Media, quote unquote.
Right. So that's their dubbing studio.
Right. And then
probably their authoring as well.
Right. And Acer Holdings owns the ADV Films catalog. So then Section 23 will be in charge of marketing and distributing that catalog. And then Sentai Filmworks has all of their recent and new stuff. Right.
Right. Yeah. That's the company they've been licensing stuff under for the last year or so.
Right. Right. So basically, the ADV Films brand, the logo, is dead. That's gone. We're never going to see it again. They literally said that press release was the last press release to ever come out of ADV. You will never see that name on anything from them ever again.
Okay.
So it's not like there's a partner that came in and bought stuff. They're basically shuffling the cards around to avoid... Sounds like to avoid bankruptcy, selling it in pieces to themselves, making separate companies. And so and everybody's kind of ragging on it for it, and admittedly, and we have to bring this up, Section 23 is actually the, it is the part of Texas debt law that they're... that they're using to get around this. Like, that's the loophole they're exploiting.
Oh, my God.
Look it up. I swear to God. And one of our brilliant forum users found this and actually linked to the Texas state government webpage, and it was all there. This is the loophole they're using to get away from their creditors.
That is phenomenal.
Yeah, and that's kind of the big middle finger, which is why we're all kind of laughing about this and why everybody's kind of, you know, boo, ADV, boo. But this is apparently... fairly common for businesses with multiple valuable assets that they want to maintain and they don't want to have to go bankrupt and lose everything.
In Texas, at least.
In Texas. So I guess this is kind of common and this is what people do. So, like, everybody's saying boo ADV, but I guess they're just trying to stay in business. And from a personal standpoint, so long as they're still releasing stuff and my friends that work there still have jobs, I don't really care.
Yeah, same here. In fact, I kind of respect this. I mean, yeah, they're kind of... not doing this on the up and up, but I don't see, you know, I'm sure they wouldn't be doing this unless they absolutely had to.
Well, I mean, who knows? I'm not going to ascribe motive or anything like that.
Yeah, okay. Maybe I'm giving,
But, I mean, the relentless torrent of boo ADV. Okay, some of it's a little warranted. Yeah, we can make fun of them a little bit for it, but I don't know. Like, when have they ever not been a little... I mean, I don't want to cast aspersions. They've always been a little shady. Like,
yeah.
There's always a little element of that, too.
That's the whole anime business, at least in the States. I mean, most of the companies that started up around that time have always had a little bit of a basement skin of our teeth, you know, hack and slash, do whatever we can to get to make it work sort of ethic.
Yeah, and it's sort of a scrappy kind of a thing. I mean, they're as monolithic and corporate as a place like Viz is. ADV is sort of the opposite, and CPM, you know, these places are sort of the opposite of that.
Media Blasters.
Yeah, these are all scrappy little companies that when you back them into a corner, well, they're gonna pee on you or whatever, you know. So that's kind of what's happening there. I don't know if we have really much more to go on that one.
That's pretty much all there is to say about that. I mean, everything's staying in print. All the people that we know that are still working there are, you know, all five of them are still there. And I have to say, I mean, not to ascribe emotion to a faceless corporate entity, but, you know, I've been watching ADV product since I was a teenager. That you know, I will kind of, in a odd sort of way, miss both the ADV logo and the, what is anime?
Anime is pornography. Yeah, I always love those commercials. well, I didn't love them, but...
We love to hate them.
Right. Because they put them on every DVD for 6 years in a row.
It's like, I know what anime is. I bought one on DVD.
What's great is that the re-released stuff they put out in those really cheap clamshell packaging.
Yeah, the one that you have to take out 5 discs to get to disc 6.
Yeah, and it's all these are all the old singles, so they still have like New Type USA commercials on them. So it's a parade of failure. Okay, so I guess we should talk about... Now, we have an anime to talk about this week, and I'm itching to get into this.
Yeah, this week we're watching the new release of Sergeant Frog, which is Funimation's new dub of it. And it's not so much a dub so much as it is a, you know, an actual reversioning. You know, Funimation calls every dub they make reversioning. This actually was a reversioning. They pretty much had to throw away large chunks of the script because Sergeant Frog in Japanese is almost entirely reliant on puns. And so they pretty much just had to rewrite the tar out of it. And it's not the sort of thing I would normally get into. It felt very, you know, it's you know, random humor and you know, very jokey and doesn't take itself seriously at all. I kind of enjoyed it. I wouldn't really, you know, it's not something I'd seek out, but it was a decent way to while away a couple hours for me.
Okay, so overall, you'd give it a thumbs up.
If I had to give it a binary scale, yeah. It's middle of the road for me.
So did you watch it dubbed with the subs on?
I actually couldn't because I was watching the files that Funimation gave me for online streaming.
Oh, okay. Well, I was watching the DVDs.
Okay.
And I have to preface this a little bit. I am speaking about this only from a sense of personal taste. This is my personal viewpoint on the series. It is not a overall, like, here is a final judgment. Like, this is just my personal taste.
Oh, dear God.
Watching the dub of that show was, and I watched it dubbed with subs on, so I could tell, that's the best way
you
to,
could tell
yeah,
what they
what's
changed,
difference.
Which is and almost everything, right?
And I don't, yeah, but I don't care about that. Like, that's fine. They change whatever the hell they want.
Right.
The problem is, the script that they came up for this thing, it's like, because Sergeant Frog is a children's comedy show. That's what it is. So it's Japanese children's comedy show. So that means all the humor is slapstick and people overreacting to things.
Right.
Hey guys, I made a thing of ramen. What? You made ramen? And everybody flips their shit out. That's the joke. Hearty har har. So what they did is they took that show, and then they took somebody's first draft of a really bad Family Guy spec script and smashed them together.
You know, it's funny you say that. I was getting such Family Guy vibes from this dub.
Bad Family Guy vibes. In my
opinion,
a
like
bad Family
Guys.
Guy episode.
I don't like Family Guy, so of course I think, you know.
I like Family Guy. For what it is, but this Sergeant Frog script, I mean, the English script, it's just, I was sitting there going, ugh, because, first of all, they do the really bad thing where, let's rewrite this dub to make it funny, so let's just drop in a bunch of lazy-ass meta humor, so it's like, that wasn't in the script, the narrator talks about being a narrator, we're only on episode 4, and it's not funny, it's just lazy. Like, that stuff is, it's been done so many times, and like, I just didn't laugh. And they're dropping in pop culture references, and every line has to be a joke. They never deliver something straight. Every single line is a joke, and it doesn't have to be that way. And often they're not jokes, they're just references. So yeah. They'll just drop a Facebook reference in, and that's supposed to be funny, and it drove me fucking bug nuts. Like, I couldn't take it.
But, I hate to say this, but that's kind of what passes for humor in a lot of places these days.
Well, now here comes my huge caveat.
Oh, boy.
I didn't like it. It doesn't appeal to my sense of humor. I thought it was badly written. However, I am a snob. You know me, my taste in comedy is very snobby.
Yeah, it's only like you write a blog or something about it.
I'm a fan of comedy, and that means comedy nerd, comedy snob. So this isn't really my cup of tea. What I think they did do is create something that will, this is going to sound kind of elitist, but I think this will appeal to the audience that it's supposed to appeal to, meaning I could see a room full of anime fans at an anime convention losing their shit laughing at this show. Couldn't you see that?
Yes. Honestly, it's, look, as far as performances and casting, let me put it another way. In terms of anime that they just kind of, you know, threw away the script and rewrote it from scratch, I think, honestly, this is one of the better ones, comedy-wise. Mind you, that's not saying a whole lot. But compare this to something like, you're going to shoot me for this, Samurai Pizza Cats.
Okay.
If you sat down and watched Samurai Pizza Cats today, I know you have a nostalgic connection to it, but if you sat down and watched that today, you would probably want to put a gun in your mouth. It barely makes any sense at all. And it's just kind of strung together moments of, oh, we're going to say this real quick. Isn't this funny?
Yep. I won't disagree with you.
Yeah. This is markedly better than that. Is it comedy gold? Is it inspired? No, but it gets the job done and it's mildly amusing.
But you have to agree with me on this one point. Samurai Pizza Cats also was chock full of that lazy ass meta humor. The lazy ass, we're in a show, har har har, it's episode 10, blah,
yeah, the,
blah, blah.
The humor with the narrator and his interplay with the fake translations of the on-screen Japanese text has got to go. That annoyed the piss out of me.
I mean,
especially because I know Japanese and I knew the translations were an outright lie.
I know
in a perfect world, Funimation probably would have retouched the graphics, but it was never going to make any money if they did that.
That
stuff's expensive.
And I mean, I realize I'm bagging on it a lot and everything, but honestly, like, I would recommend it to that type of fan, that kind of nerd humor. Sort of random nerd humor. The people who are still laughing at Ninjas versus Pirates are probably going to think this is really funny. God, that sounds like such a put-down. But I can't. That's the only way I can describe it. There is a certain type of sense of humor that's very popular that will probably like this a lot.
You know what? We're enough debate. We'll let you decide. I'm going to put up the first four episodes streaming on ANN the first, at the same time this podcast goes up. So tell us how wrong we are in the forums.
Yeah, well, and I absolutely have to add this. Comedy is probably, of the arts, the most totally, utterly subjective thing out there. You're going to laugh at what makes you laugh. Like I say, it doesn't appeal to my sense of humor, but it might appeal to yours. So check it. Absolutely check it out for yourself. Do not take my word for it, really.
All right. And with that, why don't we take a break? I think Johnny's here.
Great.
All righty. Back and joining us in the studio is voice actor extraordinaire Johnny Young Botch.
Did you say Botch?
Botch.
You just botched my name.
I'm sorry.
And then you try to cover it up by saying Botch.
So professional.
Leave me alone.
like the spark plugs, man. Botch.
Sorry.
That's fine. Whatever.
Johnny, thanks so much for being on the show with us.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it. Now, we talked to Stephanie a couple of weeks back about the whole state of the dub industry, and we figured people are probably tired of hearing about that. But you're a guy, you got a lot going on. And the one thing we all sort of have in common, not really in common, but wind up going to a lot of conventions every year, a lot of anime conventions specifically. now, you've got a dual function at these things. You show up as yourself, the voice actor, and then you bring your band, right?
Occasionally, yeah, my band does come with me, yeah.
And that's kind of a big thing. You generally attract a pretty decent crowd at these things with your band.
Well, I would hope so. Otherwise, they wouldn't invite us, yeah.
Right, that's cool. So tell us, like, a typical convention for you, because obviously the experience Justin and I have as press is very different from whatever it is experiencing.
You're not running around to all the industry cons or industry panels or anything.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, tell us, what's your average convention experience like, and do you have any beefs, like, anything that just gets to you that you wish, like, people would stop doing at cons?
People would stop doing at cons? Oh, gosh, I don't know. Well, I mean, sure. There's all kinds of things I guess I can talk about.
Oh, come on. You don't have to name names or anything.
You want me to. You want me to throw somebody under the bus right now.
I would not turn you down.
No, I mean, there's good cons and there's bad cons, you know? And I don't know. I guess for me, what is it like? What do I do? I go there and, usually they'll have a schedule for me when I get there. And then it's says whatever I'm doing, if I have a Q&A or if I'm talking about Bleach or Trigun or Power Rangers or whatever. And then it has, like, the autograph sessions. And then, if my band's there, then we have our other things as well, performing and all that kind of stuff. I guess the only thing that, well, one of the things is when they're organized and they do have, like, a schedule for me, that's awesome, you know? But if I'm, like, trying to find where things are or figure out who's in charge or who can tell me where I'm supposed to be, you know, that's kind of when they suck. And there's been a few that are like that, you know?
Now, is that generally the smaller conventions that are like that?
No, actually, they're not. A lot of the smaller ones are really organized. It just might be because, like, some of the bigger ones are just too big, you know, or they don't have enough volunteers or whatever.
Not enough managers to really figure out where everything is at any given time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that it just could be my experience there, you know. Somebody else might have a great experience, so I really can't say or speak for anybody else, you know, but you know, it sucked for me at a couple cons.
One thing I noticed that happens to a lot of Japanese guests, especially the ones held in really high esteem, are they kind of get monopolized by their handlers. Like, the handlers are, you know, clearly some fawning fanboy who happens to know Japanese, and they just kind of fall all over them and keep them on a really tight leash and kind of pretend that they're their entourage.
Right. There's been times where I've had, like, somebody who's my liaison or whatever is, like, a big fan. And that's obviously an issue, because then it's like, well, I'm not going to give them my number, you know? I don't even know if I want them to know where I'm sleeping. But, I mean, it's never been really bad. And you just kind of have to, like, you just kind of have to draw the line and let them know this is the line. This is kind of almost like business right now, you know?
Have you had anyone try to take a lock of your hair?
No, I have not.
Well, watch out for Justin.
Hey.
No, I actually haven't had a lot of really crazy experiences, like, you know. The only thing I ever, it was at Anime Boston, which was a good con for me when I went there. But I was just walking down the hall, and this guy just came up to me, just, like, right in my face, you know. Like, if I, like, stuck my tongue out, I would have touched him, you know. He was that close to me, and it was like he was not only just a close talker, but, like, as he was talking, his breath really just stank. And, you know, and I'm trying to be nice, because I'm not going to be mean to the guy. And then I noticed he's got fangs. Like, they're fangs. And I was like, hey, whoa, you did that to your teeth? And he's like, well, yeah, you know, and so I
So they weren't, like, press-on fangs?
No, they were, like, he
actually sharpened his teeth.
Either he sharpened them or he went to the dentist, I don't know, to have them done,
like,
that way.
Prosthetic?
I don't know.
Like, prosthetic fangs?
Yeah, they're like
there are dentists fangs that will actually file down your teeth.
Yeah.
Anything for money. But it was just weird for me, and I was like, oh, this kind of is creepy. I don't know what to think right now. And he's like, I want to fight you. And I was like, what? He's like, I want to fight you. I'm a something. He's some martial artist or right, whatever. And I was like, okay, but I'm not going to fight clean. I was like, I'm going to fight dirty. And I know you have sharp teeth, but I'm going to bite you back, you know? But it was just an awkward situation. And then I actually don't remember how it went, how he went away. I didn't fight him. I know that.
But you made it out of there with every pint of blood intact.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But so, it was creepy though.
So when you bring your band, is it a crossover audience? Do you get, like, fans of your band showing up, or is it generally just generally anime fans?
Majority of them are anime fans, but we're starting to get to where we're better. So some other people are actually liking us, you know. A lot of our fans are easily anime or Power Ranger fans, or from wherever else, you know. But we have had quite a few people that would show up to a con not really knowing what to expect and seeing all these kids dressed up and kind of freaking out or whatever. Which is kind of funny to, like, introduce them to kind of, like, where we are, you know. But yeah, so it's kind of definitely more anime and Power Ranger fans or whatever from that side.
So between the anime and Power Rangers fans, who's weirder and more out there? Like, is there a big difference between those crowds?
There's some difference. For me, it's like the Power Ranger fans are all the fans just across the board are really supportive, except for the ones that are like, just the Japanese is good, you know. You know, they're all really supportive, but sometimes it seems like for me that the Power Ranger fans are a little harsher to me, I guess. They're a little harsh, you know, like if they don't like something that I've done or they don't like a song, they will tell me, you know, like we have that relationship, I guess. To where they have confidence enough to know that they can say something. I mean, I don't know. It might just be because they've seen me so much longer than you know, some of these anime fans.
Yeah, I think if that were me, I would probably call them assholes.
I can't say that all of them do that, but there are a few, you know, that do that.
Is this on the internet or to your face?
Never to my face. Yeah, it's always
okay.
That makes a huge difference.
But it's like an email. Like most people, though, if they send me an email, it's, you know, usually kind of a nice thing or whatever.
Yeah, it's one-on-one, it's direct.
Yeah, and they say something nice, but it's always either followed up or maybe even the first thing they say is, well, I mean, somebody else just the other day said something like, I don't know, it just felt negative. Like I felt like, what did she say? She said, she's probably going to be listening to this. But so no offense, but it bothered me a little bit. She said, "My brother thinks your band sucks, but I think you guys are okay." You know,
well, thanks.
And I felt, yeah, I was like, well, all right. It's like you didn't need to tell me that much. I know that not everybody's gonna like us, but still, it's like, well, it's kind of mean.
And I'd imagine you do appearances for Power Rangers stuff that's separate from all the anime stuff, right?
Actually, it's mostly been kind of just a combination.
Like just both at the same show?
Yeah, you know, when I was on Power Rangers, I never did a convention. You know, we never really did convention appearances or anything.
Most of those kids weren't old enough anyway.
Exactly. And it wasn't until I did Vash, you know. After that, Leah Sargent, who directed me on that, said, "These people at this con want you to come down there. It's really strange and cool and fun, and you should check it out." I was like, okay. And then where was it? Segoy Con, I think? No.
One of the smaller cons.
Yeah, whatever con.
It wasn't really super small, but it was cool. I went, and there's like all these, you know, Vash kids dressed up, and I thought, oh, this is pretty cool. And then the next one I went to really was ridiculous, and I hated it.
Well, there were a couple of years there where every second person was walking around in a Vash coat.
Yeah, it was almost as out of control as L from Death Note.
Right.
Yeah.
A little harder costume, I have to admit.
Yeah, definitely. And some people really really do it up and make it look good.
Do you ever get any, like, super hardcore, like, the guy who's dressed to the nines in the Vash costume and, like, wants to be buddies?
No.
Dang it.
I have, though.
Trying to dredge up some juicy stuff here.
No, I do remember, though, I can't remember which con it was. It was a smaller con. And this guy was, like, dressed up like Vash. And it was, like, really good. Like, it was amazing. And then I was like, dude, that costume is awesome, man. You made it yourself? And he's like, yeah, or whatever. I was like, oh, cool. And then I'm like, tried to explain who I was without saying who I was because I was like excited. I was like, hey, maybe we have a bond because nobody else was there at the con except for me, you know. It was that small. And I was like, yeah, so. And then he just kind of like turned and walked away from me. And I was like, oh, man.
That must be a letdown.
And,
like,
and he never even came by to get an autograph or anything. So apparently he hated me as Vash. He only liked the costume.
Clearly he's a subtitle fan.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was about to say, that must be a letdown. And they're like, oh, I only watch the fan subs. But you were saying,
I've had somebody say that to me before, though. Actually, I was at another con, and you know, some of the cons, they do these things where you eat dinner with the fans or something like
that.
Yeah, you know?
It's like a paid thing.
Yeah, you pay. It always kind of rubs me the wrong way.
I imagine it has to be really awkward.
It is, because you can't really eat. You know, you got to, like, kind of entertain, you know.
Right.
And so it's just kind of, it was weird, you know. This is the first time I ever did it, and it was kind of, like, thrown on me. And I was like, oh, really? Oh, okay. And so I'm sitting there, my burger's getting cold, and, you know, I'm just talking to these fans or whatever. And then afterwards, like, some of them start walking around, and they start, you know, getting autographs from all the other voice actors, and everybody was a Canadian voice actor except for me.
Oh.
This was in Canada. Oh. This is my first.
So they were all like ocean actors.
Yeah, and I was there, and really the only thing that I had done was that was known, I think, was maybe was Vash, really, and Wolf's Rain.
Okay.
And so these kids were coming by, you know, and this one girl came by, and she's like, "So what do you do? Who are you?" And I was like, "Well, I was like, I'm Vash and Trigun." And she's like, And so I started naming some things off, right? And then I said, then eventually, like underneath it all, I was like, "You've been to Wolf's Rain," and she's like, "Oh yeah, I liked Wolf's Rain." And she gives me a piece of paper, and she's like, "So go ahead and draw yourself, and then sign it." And I was like, I draw myself? I was, that's weird. And then, so I start drawing myself, you know, like a little stick figure, and I was going to be like with a thumbs up or whatever. And I'm like drawing the hand. She's like, "Oh, and I really don't like your voice. You know, I prefer the Japanese."
Jesus.
And then,
like,
hell?
I was like, "Oh, ouch." And so then I was like, "Oh, gee, that's nice." And I was like, "Why do you want my autograph?" And then I gave her the paper back. And she looks at it, and she's like, "Well, I didn't mean it like that." And then I look at it, and it, instead of me doing this, it turned into, like, the middle finger. but it wasn't on purpose.
She,
it
was she got just what
like
she deserved.
She said it, like, as I was working on the hand, so it was, like, kind of slipped. And
your
was,
brain
like,
was just... Yeah, was your like, brain and your hand were functioning separately from your...
yeah, it was kind of rude.
She deserved it, though. That's such a dick thing. Why do fans do that? Like,
you know, they do that to us quite often, just... on the forums.
Yeah,
never in person. I've never had that happen in person.
Yeah, I've never gotten the backhanded compliment or weird, weird harsh criticism out of nowhere from like people who show up to our panels. But I wonder what it is that makes people feel like it's... Because you're a person. You're like just sitting there. You're not like a character or something.
Yeah,
I don't
some
get
people
like...
just don't think about that, you know? Because, I mean, it... Like, when we read stuff like that, if we read bad things, then obviously we feel bad, you know? But that's one of the things of doing a lot of this, doing anime or doing anything, really. You just kind of have to do your best and then hope that there's enough fans that do support you, you know, and then just kind of keep going from there.
Yeah, ultimately you're putting yourself out there to nerds. And nerds are going to either hate you or think you're the second coming.
Right, you're either the best thing or the worst thing all the time. There's no in between.
None.
I wouldn't say they're all nerds, though.
Okay,
would
fine.
You?
Well, okay, dude, they're anime fans.
Yeah, but that doesn't. That, well, I mean, I don't know.
I'm
but
a
that
nerd.
Doesn't make
I admit
nerds,
it.
Because I run it. Nerd, I think, is somebody who's smart. You know, and
oh, dork.
And I'm saying
we're thinking
there,
dork.
There are a
yeah.
lot. Of, there Deep. Are a lot of nerds that watch, but there are some people that aren't so smart that watch too.
Some people.
I thought I was. I thought I was putting them down. You thought I was complimenting them.
You're right. Nerd is a functioning smart person.
Should we do some Twitter questions?
So I want to start with this. It's from Isla Yeats, who's one of our forum regulars. Question for Johnny. Has anyone contacted you yet about returning to voice Vash for the new Trigun movie? You were awesome, by the way.
Thank you, and no.
No, not at all?
Not at
that
all.
That thing is like in pre-production.
Yeah, I don't think they're even thinking about voices yet.
Yeah, well, there's a trailer. Okay, let me see.
Is there a trailer?
Yeah, there's a trailer.
In Japanese.
In Japanese. Yeah.
They did not dub it without you.
Okay, question for everybody from Kikala. First anime you guys watched, and was it for business or pleasure? It's kind of an easy one.
Well, yeah, if you're... I don't think most of us get into this business intentionally and not already watch the stuff. So.
Well, except in Johnny's case, because you might have not at all been... It might have not been in your wheelhouse until you got
Well, I mean, like I would watch Speed Racer when I was younger, but I didn't know it was anime. I just thought it was a cartoon.
So your first exposure to it as an adult was as an actor trying to get a job? Or?
The first time that I knew it was anime was when Akira came out, you know, the first one.
Yeah.
And then I remember seeing that and thinking, wow, this is wild. This is anime? What? But I thought it was pretty cool. It was very confusing, but I thought it was cool.
Right. I was 13 and Robin, my sister Robin, had a friend that loaned us Project Aiko. That's pretty much it for me.
I think I was in my junior year of high school, and it was the first Tenchi OVA. Pretty sure that was it. It was either that or Ninja Scroll, one of the two.
Ninja Scroll is awesome, man.
You know, I was never a fan.
Really?
Yeah. Just, I don't know. A lot of people were into the shock value of it, and by that time I had already seen hentai, so I was just like...
Yeah. Oh, see, yeah, it did shock me. But I was more into the ninjas, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I was never a big ninja guy.
Yeah, it's like, that's...
Really?
Yeah.
The movie's like...
What kind of guy are you, man?
It's like 60%.
A bad one. I'm bad at this male thing.
Yeah.
The movie's
How
like...
Can you not like... You like pirates then, don't you?
No.
No?
No.
Boo.
Dude,
I just kind of suck in every possible way.
I think that was... Ninja Scroll was the first time I had ever, like, seen, like, that much violence and, like, rape in a cartoon. So that was, like, the...
Yeah, there's some really bizarre stuff in that, too.
I think I saw Genocyber before I saw that as well.
Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust, that one was awesome. You guys see
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
I saw that in the, like, I remember we drove like 50 miles to the only theater that was playing it, and it was this dirty ass scratched up reel, but we still thought it was awesome.
Actually, I was thinking of Blood. Now I remember. Bloodlust, I think I saw, there was a festival of anime going on in New York at the time. This predates Big Apple Anime Fest. This is just like 1 year thing. And they had pretty much 35 millimeters of all these new movies of, you know, Spriggan, of Jinro.
Spriggan.
Yeah, I don't know.
Spriggan, the end of that movie, man.
All I think of is dinosaurs. That's all I could think about.
I couldn't sit through it because it was a double feature and they played it after Jinro. Ooh. You know, Jinro was this really beautiful, evocative movie that kind of left a hole in your, you know, spirit. It was just a punch to the gut. then you follow up with something just dumb. I had no tolerance for it. I just walked right out.
I remember trying to, like, rent some anime, like, because I thought it was cool. You know, I went to Blockbuster, and I saw it was Guyver or something. I was like, oh, that's cool, man. So I, like, grabbed...
then you
like,
rented it.
I grabbed like, a bunch of them, you know, and then I didn't know anything about, like, how, like... volumes work, you know, and I just thought that they were all there,
self-contained,
and I like was watching, you know, episodes 1 through 3, and then it like jumped to somewhere later where there's like another Guyver looked weird, and I'm like, what's going on here, man? This stuff sucks.
Do you ever run into like all the old timers from all those really old dubs that really aren't very good and just kind of mentally think, oh, I remember that. I remember when Wendy Lee was in this really, really terrible old show back in the 80s. I'm going to tweak her and just bring it up to her right now.
No, I mean, I remember like the old stuff being really, really bad, but no, I don't really think about it. I know that she had done some stuff. She's been doing it for a long time, but.
All right. Next up from Joel Burrows. I've just gotten back in anime, and by the sounds of it, it's a very bleak time for it. Is it as bad as you guys have been making out? We have not been making out on the show.
No. I missed that somehow.
That's not what's happening on this program.
I mean, there's still some good shows out there, but, you know.
My response to that would be, anytime you get into anime, it's fine because there's a huge library of good stuff. So if you're new to it, if you're new to it, it's all new to you. So the cynical stuff that we talk about doesn't apply to you if you're new to it.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a marked slowdown in new productions and a lot, especially the riskier ones, which tend to be the most interesting. But there's still some good stuff out there, and if you've been away for a few years, there's definitely a backlog of stuff that you've missed.
So, like, say, like, somebody's been out of it. I have no idea how long this guy's been out of it. Say, like, he's been out of it for the past 3 years. Two shows you'd recommend.
Funimation has Eden of the East coming out.
Yeah.
What else?
Moyashimon, maybe?
Oh, yeah, Moyashimon. That's not licensed yet, though.
I liked Mushishi. I thought that was pretty good.
I really enjoyed Mushishi, but I burned out on it really quick because it's all the same.
That is true. Every episode is identical.
I bought like the first disc when they were released as singles, and I just never really cared to come back to it.
Right.
It's all taste, anyways. What does he like? Does he like the adventure stuff? He's like,
and it's 140
comedies.
Characters. Yeah. That's all I got. Have you been in anything recently that you really dug? That you personally
been
thought was
recently?
Good.
I mean, I'm still doing Bleach, and then we just did the Odeca 7 movie, which was very different.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, Stephanie was saying it's nothing like the series at all.
It's not. I mean, the characters are still the who they are, you know, but their backgrounds and where they came from and who they are is I guess who they are. I don't know. They're slightly. It's different. The story is different.
I see.
You kind of have to forget what you saw on the show. It's just a whole different. You know, from what I understand, the Japanese director wanted to like write something using the same characters, and he could have like made them completely different, but he, you know, just wanted to explore some darker sides to the characters.
Okay.
Now that's, what day is that? September 24th?
I think it is the 24th. Yeah, it is the 24th.
Are you, Johnny, gonna go?
Do
you watch yourself? Is that a thing?
I don't usually watch myself. Like, not, well, like, there's gonna be people in there, and, you know. You know, I don't want to go there and then I haven't seen it.
Really? You don't, like, pop in the new Akira Blu-ray and just watch yourself?
No, I don't, man. Are you kidding me? I wouldn't mind going and seeing it, but I don't want to go there and then maybe people won't like it.
Oh, yeah. What if they start booing? Okay, and from the Game Ninja, this guy's a radical dude. What are the best and worst dubs you've ever heard?
Justin? Best and worst dubs.
Well, I'd be remiss if I don't mention Garzy's Wing. But honestly, Garzy's Wing is not the worst dub I've ever heard. The worst dub, I think, is a hentai dub put out by Kip Kaplan at Audio Works. It's this really crappy hentai called Twisted Tales of Tokyo. It's so lazy, they didn't even bother dubbing most of the sex scenes. They just left it in Japanese and just, you know, piped in one voice when there was, like, a word.
Wow.
Yeah. Incredibly bad dub.
Best?
Best. Why don't you come back to me on that? I have to think about that.
I'm just going to go off the top of my head for... phenomenal in Japanese, horrible in English. Neon Genesis Evangelion. I absolutely
Thank
hate
you.
That dub. It ruins that show.
There is no subtlety to that dub at all. Like, they wrote it out intentionally.
Yeah. I mean, talk about something that had all this subtle psychological drama in it in Japanese, and in English, they're just beating you in the face with the line readings. I mean, I hate that dub. I think it ruins that show. Worst dub. Johnny, you probably can't comment on worst.
Hey, yeah. What about best? Zach, you didn't do best either.
My go-to is the Helsing, both the TV and the OVA. I thought just the British voices at it. They got it. Like, they understood it. So everybody knows I love that dub, so that's always my go-to for best.
Fair enough.
I don't even know what the best thing that I've seen would be, really.
That's okay.
I don't think I've seen enough anime. You know, I've seen a bunch, but I wouldn't even know. Cause like, I don't know. You watch an anime, like if I watch a series, I probably don't watch the whole series. I watch like the first few episodes, and then. Don't make me comment on that.
I'm not going to make... No one's making you do anything here, man.
He's holding the knife to me right now.
No one's holding the gun to your head.
Fucking tell us, what's the best dub?
I can tell you.
Okay, so I'm going to do just the... I'll do one of the snarky ones. Just one. You don't have to take it. One of the snarky ones.
Sure, go ahead.
Johnny, do you think certain voice actors are a little overexposed?
Yes, I do agree. I do agree.
Which ones?
Well, let's see. There's this JYB character. I think for that guy or girl, whoever wrote that.
Oh, it's a guy named Penguin Truth from our forums, actually. He's kind of a dick.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, see, so we can safely ignore him.
Well, the thing is like, I mean, it's a valid point, you know? It's like I have, fortunately for me, I was able to get quite a few decent lead roles, you know? If I were in a bunch of crappy anime, then it wouldn't make any difference because nobody would have heard me, you know? But I've been fortunate enough to get a couple decent roles, and then the characters I'm playing, their vocal range is very similar to one another, you know? Like, Ichigo is similar to, you know, Code Geass, you know? There's only slight inflection changes or whatever, or how he would say... Ichigo would say talking, and Lelouch would say talking, you know? So there's only a slight change, but the tone is very similar. So I knew that it was going to happen, and especially they're back to back on, you know, Adult Swim or whatever. So, you know, it's just kind of like, I'm glad that I had the work, you know, and it's all gone now, so nobody has to worry except for in the games. I've done a few games now that, you know, to me it's like I'm not purposely trying to like be out there everywhere. I do want to work though. You know?
Yeah, well, and people are dicks. I mean, what do you want?
Don't defend your need to eat.
No, I know. But it's like, I honestly, like, when I go and I do and work on a show, it's really, I'm trying to bring the true emotion to this character or whatever it is. You know, anytime that I get a role, I'm trying to be the best, you know, for that role or that voice, you know? So it's not like if they want him young, like Renton or whatever, then he's going to sound young, like Renton, you know? But if they're all going to sound the same, yeah, maybe I'm overused. It doesn't matter. I mean, what am I going to do? Am I going to, like, stop being who I am?
You make a great point with the fact that, I mean, probably people will get all fucking pedantic about this, but you're right. When you put those two characters back to back, it's a dude in his late teens and he's an action hero.
Right. Okay.
And they're both of similar build. I mean, they have different hair color, but I mean, you know, if it works, it works. That's what if it works, it works. That's what I'm saying.
There's not that much anime going on right now anyway, so.
Don't we know?
Not in LA anyway.
Yeah.
Still plenty being dubbed in Texas.
Maybe you'll land a plum roll in Sergeant Frog. Okay, all right. I think that's all the time we have. Johnny, do you have anything you want to plug? Any upcoming dates for your band or anything?
So if you guys check out my band, you may not like us if you don't like edge rock.
And if you don't, be sure and email them.
Yeah, be sure to email me and let me know that you don't like me. check us out at eyeshine.net, EYESHINE. We're playing this Star 98.7 thing that's going on right now, and so we will need votes. We need online votes from September 14th to the 21st.
Like, Star 97 is a Los Angeles area.
Yeah, it's a radio station out here. I guess it's pretty big, you know. We're in the semifinals right now.
Congratulations! So,
thanks, man. And it just means we're okay. So if we win, that means we're good. Online votes will help. Every day, please vote. We just did an online vote. We won this thing, but we backed out of this other competition because we thought it was bogus. Some of these competitions are really stupid. You know, you go and then you have to pay to play, right? You pay $250. So it's actually you sell tickets, right?
Right.
And so it's like, I don't know, $10 pop. You need to bring at least 25 people. Hmm. And then it's like we're realizing that however, like each gig you had to do this for this competition, this battle of bands. And the prize was like $5,000 or something. And I was like, wait a second. We're paying for our prize money here. What's the point of this, you know? And then at the end of the day, you don't really get anything.
If you win, you still don't make a profit.
Yeah, so it was like, kind of like, well, this is just glorified practice, man. It's like, why do we need this?
Yeah, that reminds me of those, like, improv troops where you have to pay to be in the improv troupe. Like,
I've never heard of those.
Yeah, you have to pay. You pay a fee to be in a group, and then if you don't sell any tickets at the door, you just lose that.
That's lame.
Yeah.
Wow. I am going to be at Anime Fest, though, this weekend.
Oh, great. And Anime Fest is?
Is in Dallas.
Great.
And it's a con. And the band's going to be there. And there's going to be anime stuff happening.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks again, and we'll see you guys next week.
Cool.
You want to sign off?
Nah.
Okay. You don't want to sign off?
Okay. See you next week. There, you can cut that in.
This is Johnny Youngbosh signing off.
I'll make sure to put that. Yeah.